Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Yasagonige, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Beginning of Part 2. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
And I said to my wife, I said, "Hey, honey," I said, "are you cooking fresh bread?" She said, "No." And you got to understand, you know, we're in a 35-foot fifth-wheel trailer out in the Utah desert, and the wind's blowing. And I said, "No, come on." I said, "I can smell yeast so strong." I said, "You have got to be cooking fresh bread." And she says, "No, honey." She says, "I'm not kidding." She says, "There's something wrong with your nose." She says, "I'm not cooking bread." And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I said, "I've been sitting here wearing this copper bracelet, you know, for about an hour and a half." I said, the only explanation was is that copper, and I'd have been hearing about candida, and I knew that it was a yeast,
right,
a yeast thing, and I thought, oh man, I said, "I'm probably eating up with yeast," and, you know, a lot of people are. It's so what do you know about candida? What is it, candida albicans?
Yeah, candida is the yeast that builds up in the body, and what happens is too is say like if you're actually trying to do any weight loss program, one of the things that you have to do is get rid of that that yeast buildup, and you know, like a lot of people think that it is just women that get the yeast buildup, but it's not true. Men also get yeast buildup in their body. And the agrisap, because it has five citrics in it, is able to help to kill a lot of that yeast bacteria.
It's like a grapefruit seed oil or something.
Grapefruit,
yeah.
It has lemon, it has orange. I mean, it's just all the five citrics that goes into that. And everybody was so excited about the grapefruit one, and they were all out taking that, but this one here has put the five together and has made a powerful kind of antibiotic for killing off a lot of bacteria. They also use you can use that to spray on your vegetables and to kill any bacteria that is on your vegetables and fruits and things, so you can wash them in the. And so it's just good for a lot of different things, but it's really good to kill the yeast in the body. And then once you take in the Calorad and that, you want to be taking like the Agrisap every day, 2-3 times a day, in a glass of water, put 4 or 5 drops, and then a cap full of the Oxyap water. You get the oxygen, the bacteria fighter, and then this kills a lot of the yeast infection, and then all of a sudden you start to lose that weight. And so it took a long time to be able to put on a lot of these pounds, and a lot of people out there that have these problems will try anything, and a lot of times they go towards the cheaper kind of products out there, and a lot of times they just don't do what they say they're going to do. And it's kind of like watching those commercials on TV where they say, "Take this product, it'll cure, you know, the running nose." Oh yeah, it does have a side effect. It could destroy your liver.
Right.
And you know, like people say, "Oh, give me those nose drops, I really need it." But don't you need your liver? I mean, so Calorad is one of the safest products on the market. It has no side effects. They will never promise that you can lose weight, but they can promise you this, that if you don't give it a try, and you know, like, you can't just take it for 1 month and then stop. It's like, it's an ongoing process. It took us like a long, I know it took me a long time to get my big, huge stomach out there. And you know, and so it takes a while to be able to bring that back under where you would like it, you know. You know, this is one of the things that is facing a lot of the world, is the health challenges that people are going through. And sometimes there's some real breakthrough products out there, and a lot of times they don't get the exposure that they need to be able to actually touch the masses of people. One of the things that me and Brother Mackey were doing too is when we were doing ceremonies and that, we were doing crystal healing workshops, and I was working with Brother Mackey like that for 4 years. We're doing these workshops, and we had different people coming for all kinds of different things, and one lady came, I'm not trying to sound like any kind of a doctor or anything like that. I'm not a doctor. I believe in our prayers. I believe in good medicine. I believe in talking with people, finding out what is really going on in their lives, whether they're hurting from a relationship, or whether they're angry at their job, or whether they're disappointed with their parents, or whatever the things that have happened in their lives. A lot of times this brings on what we call disease because of the traumas and things that we experience. And so we don't realize that clearing up a lot of that old energy and that old energy patterns is what can give us back a new free spirit and the willpower to go on and to do what we're supposed to do here. But there was this one lady who had came to Brother Mackey and I, and she had gone through the leukemia chemotherapy, and she was almost like a dish rag when they brought her in, but she couldn't walk. And Brother Mackey looking at me, and he bring me to the side, and he says, "I don't know, brother." He says, "She looks pretty gone." And I says, "Well," I says, "they asked us just to work with her." And I said, "So let's just go ahead and work with her." So we made a prayer about it, and we came back and we told the lady, "You gotta leave her here 4 days." And so the people, they are looking at us, and they says, "Well, where do we go?" We says, "We don't care. Just leave her here for 4 days. Otherwise, you take her back home." And so these people, they went and got a room, and so this woman stayed there with us, and she was an older woman too, she stayed there with us for 4 days. Now, around the clock, we were doing ceremony with her and doing crystal layout, and then Brother Mackey made this fantastic soup, and it was chicken soup. And he says, now brother, this is the secret. And he says, "You gotta put the English black tea in the soup 15 minutes.
Is that right?
Before you're gonna serve it." And he said, "This mixed with the broth, the vegetables, and that, he says, it's gonna help this lady to revive herself." So we prayed with this chicken soup, and then we made this, put that black tea in there. And then we continued to pray with her. And 4 days later, when these people came back, they could not believe it was the same woman that they left there. She was running up and down the stairs. She was so excited. She says, I feel so great. And you know, these two men have just nurtured me, and I never felt so much caring. And so they took her back to Florida, and she drove herself halfway back to Florida. She drove all the way from Florida. They drove her from Florida to come up there to see us in Washington. anyway, when she went, we got a message from her that she had driven halfway back herself. She just felt so good. And then 3 months later, she was still doing great. And the doctors convinced her to go back to chemotherapy. 2 months later, she was dead.
Oh, yeah.
That is, they wanted to finish the chemo that they had started with her. And she was actually, had regained her strength. And anyway, I know how people get so convinced that some things are there to work for people. But, you know, like when we really look at all the things that are out there, there's so much more better ways to go about them.
Well, that's all that they'll allow here in the United States. Dr. Chief Charles Rogers, who's the chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, which is recognized by the Republic of Mexico, federally recognized, he learned Cherokee medicine from his grandmother, and he was the man that discovered Sequoia's grave, which Cherokee's been looking for a long time. But his website is at www.doctorofhope.com. And you ought to go on and read it, because he uses a blend of, he's a medical school graduate, he uses a blend of traditional and modern medicine, and he uses agents instead of injecting them into the body, he uses them on the parts of the body that are affected. And he says chemotherapy is not really effective in cold parts of the body like the lungs and the brain and other parts. And he has tremendous success. And actually, I got a call from him last week. They're starting up an internet radio show.
Oh, cool.
And kind of we're picking my brains, and I was picking theirs. Awful glad to hear from him. I've been trying to get a hold of him for about a year and a half. But you ought to check out doctorofhope.com. That's a traditional Cherokee medicine man who's blending the old with the new and having a tremendous success.
Well, this is one of the things that, you know, like that is a real crime. It's because the way that the traditional medicines were taught, and that, you know, and it was passed on through generational understanding. So long before there was any of these medical doctors and people that came here, the people here had the plants and things that they had actually even put into their own foods, and but plants that they used especially just for the medicines and that. This was and so it was like the grandmothers would eat this and it was passed on that these medicines and things would cure certain types of illness.
Oh yeah, Frank Fulscrow was using.
And now they everybody says, oh, it's so crazy that you would take herbs. I mean, give me a break. You know, I just can't believe that people have become that kind of naive.
Where do they think their pharmaceuticals come from?
They're derivatives of herbs.
That's right.
But once they're finished with them, I don't think there's much there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Atahualpa was the emperor of the Inca Empire, and at the time that Francisco Pizarro conquered Peru for Spain. And they captured Atahualpa and told them, well, you know, if you'll fill this room up, you know, once with gold and twice with silver, we'll let you go. And he said, oh, no problem. And so he brought them all the gold and everything, and they still strangled him to death. They broke their word. But he, you know, the coca leaf is used to in South America to... they chew the actual leaf, and it fortifies them and gives them a little bit of a lift. But he made a prophecy at that time. He said that the coca leaf would fortify the Indian, but would become a curse to the white man. And that's exactly what cocaine has become.
Right.
You take something good and amplify it way out of proportion,
right.
And it's bad for you.
Right.
Marijuana is the same deal. It's just it's used in a wrong way. It has specific uses, and you know, people are just using things for the wrong reason. I know Frank Fool's Crow, was curing people of cancer using echinacea, but I mean the echinacea plants he would go gather. I mean the roots were as big as your thumb.
Right.
And I don't know if you ever chewed echinacea, but boy, I'll tell you that. Take some echinacea, put it in your mouth, and it'll numb your mouth. It's amazing stuff.
Right.
It's amazing stuff. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, we one of the things that I'm wanting to say is that the Creator taught us to read. He lent us the world for a book, and you know we haven't even really come to a small portion of understanding of this beautiful world that Creator has made. Because when you understand Creator's book, you can walk through the forest, you can tell the male plants from the female plants, the ones that are food, the ones that are medicines, and the ones that are just leave me alone, you know. And so the native people here, they understood how to live this way with the nature. And they honored and they blessed everything that they took from Mother Earth by leaving an offering for it. Always not just picking from the plant that they had prayed upon, but going to the next plant so that they would ensure that the seeds would fall to the ground and that it would replenish. When people are going out and picking herbs and medicines and things today, they go out and they take everything. They don't leave nothing behind for the next seeds, the next generation. And that's kind of what we're doing across this earth, is we're not leaving behind the things that need to be for the generations to come, including the knowledge about these herbs and medicines and the way that people can heal. I told people, one day we're going to, they always tell me that they want to know the great medicine people that I learned with. And I said, one day you're going to meet the greatest medicine person of all. And they said, that's the one I want to work with. I said, don't worry, you'll see him someday. And that's Great Spirit. Because I believe the Great Spirit can heal. I've seen the beauty in ceremonies and all across the country where people were truly believing in the prayers. And I've seen miraculous things take place. People get out of wheelchairs. Just beautiful things that transpires, you know. But it's when we stop believing in our prayers, and we make a prayer, and then we step around the corner and we say, I prayed for that, but I don't believe it's going to happen. It just, people have forgotten how to believe in who Great Spirit is. I know that there's a plan here for all of us, and I know that there's good medicine for each one of us to learn from. And whether it be from the rooted kind or whether it be from the life lessons that we go through, it's all good medicine that we have here to work with. And what I want to tell people out there is that in their lives, no trauma, no experiences is too hard to work through. I know I've had so many in my life this time. And so it's the more that you work through what is happening in your own life and changing the vibration of who you are. And it's like when these elders was working with me, and they believed so much more in me than I believed that I could be helped. But one elder went and told me, says, I see the beautiful human being that you are. And he says, it's just those damn behaviors that need to change.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Let the wind blow. Let the truth be known.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
To all mankind again, Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper, oh
while for that to sink in, and but it was my own changes that I had to go through, and I always tell people I haven't always been like the spiritual elder and walking this way, because I went through tremendous grief and pain my whole life, and dropped off in the north in 83, and then foster homes, and just somewhat abused. Foster homes at age 15 and jumping freights all across this country. Becoming a boxer, a fighter, an alcoholic, a drug addict, I've hurt a lot of people in my life, you know. And now, I love this person I am because I took the time to look at my life, to make the changes that I needed to do to see what someone else had told me that they seemed to be a beautiful human being. So I think that this is one of the things that we can do, and this is good medicine, is to be able to take your own life, and never mind the judgment that we have against other people, and because when we get back to spirit realm, we're going to meet those same people that we thought we hated so much here, and we're going to look at them, and we're going to go, you know, you had me believing it was really real this time. You did it so well. And you're going to realize that someone came here to help you to make that experience. And in spirit realm, we escalate along our line to become a one day a spirit. spirit helper down here on Mother Earth, but we have to go through a tremendous amount of learning and experiences to be able to understand each and everything that a person is given to walk this earth. This is a challenging place. And in spirit realm, we don't have these challenges, only here. And so Native people never looked to Creator as someone who would throw them into a hellfire and damnation kind of a place, because we believe that we came here to make our experiences. And when we get back to spirit realm, it's a beautiful, calm, beautiful place that all of us can truly take a rest. And none of us is going to be here forever. So this is also a time of learning and a time of being able to help others to come through their experiences. And this is a lot of the work that I do. I work with couples, relationships, I'm very good at working with relationships. I've had at least 6 myself.
You sound like a Cherokee.
Yeah, this is all experiences and things that I learned from. And one of the things that I want to say to all the men out there is that we really need to learn how to respect these life givers. I grew up with no respect. I didn't know how to honor who a woman was. And felt rejected and abandoned by my own mother, so I thought that it was very difficult for me to honor who a woman is. And I think that sent me on a big journey throughout the world. And I think that's why that I've come into contact with so many matriarchal tribes, is to learn who these women are. And one time I was giving a talk, and I was speaking about the life givers, and I asked the people there, I says, who is the gift of grace? Who is the gift of grace? And you know, everybody's looking around, and they all were talking about the gift of grace. And so then I told them, I said, in the ancient time, in the original instructions, the Creator spoke to the mankind, and He told them that the beautiful gift of grace would walk beside them, and that this would be the closest that man would come to heaven on earth through the gift of grace. And so there we entered the first sacred water of Mother. And there we are coming to the heartbeat of who Mother is. And for those 9 months that we're submerged in that first sacred water, we understand unconditional love. And then we are born from that beautiful womb of Mother in the first sacred water, to drink of the sacred waters of Mother Earth. We forgot how sacred everything is. We always pray for the great miracles and for the things to come to help to change our lives. And yet, they're always all around us. So I think my journey was to learn about who Mother was and how sacred that her dream was to be able to born as children. And when a young girl is born, she has been touched by great spirits, and beautiful spirits are come to be around her. And these little spirits that journey with her many times as she's growing up, they become her playmates. And she gives them names nobody else can see them. And then one day when she becomes old enough and ready, and in the timeline that she finds the mate that is to be their father, then they become her children. These are the spirit babies that comes with each woman that is born, each girl child. And so the sacred journey of Mother is continuous. And so we need to learn how to respect Mother once again, so that we can respect Mother Earth and know that every part of being Mother is sacred and holy. The most sacred ceremony that a mother does in her entire life is to board her children.
Oh.
It doesn't matter whatever else that she does in her life, nothing is more powerful than to be able to bring that new life through. And I think that the men have forgotten what it is to be a man, and in this patriarchal society, we treat the life givers with so much disrespect.
Absolutely. You wanted, speaking of disrespect, you wanted me to remind you to talk about genetic engineering.
Oh, yeah. One of my great topics. I'm so,
Let her rip.
Yeah. You know, I had a dream about, 8-10 years ago now, about, and we were all put into big circles. And in the big circles, the people were told that they had to take out all the plants that didn't belong there. The ones that were not grown with the original seeds, they had to all be. And in the dream, we were putting them on boats and places and shipping them out to all the places that they came from. And it was so funny, whoever was orchestrating this, everyone was listening to them, but even the ones who weren't listening, they were put back on the boats, and they were shipped back to where they came from. But the great circles that they showed was that they were replanting the original seeds. And they were in there, they were so insistent that these were the only ones that would ever grow here again. And then 8-10 years later, they start to talk about the genetic engineered, genetic modified seeds and stuff that they were putting out, and how each one of these things was going to be so great, it was going to feed the world, but everybody would have to come to them to get seeds every year because they wouldn't reproduce. And this is what they had done to alter them. And so now, throughout the world, there's many places that won't even accept anything that is genetic modified. And so they, a lot of times when you go into the stores and that, you see also a lot of the labels now they have that. And we steer clear of every one of those things. Because funny things are happening. There's a lot more males who are becoming sterile. There's a lot of things.
And that's fulfilling a Hopi prophecy.
I'm going to tell you. And it's really saddening my heart to know that we are coming to that place where we don't really care. We're so concerned with our greed and our profits that we're not concerned with future generations, nor are we concerned about the health challenges that comes from these. It's kind of like a lot of the dairy industries and things that are going on now. You've got to go to a website. Have you seen that one that says not milk?
No.
You've got to find it, because when it starts talking about the pus factor of the milk, I mean, it's enough to to deter you from ever wanting to have another glass of milk.
Well, you know, milk is one thing. I mean, cow's milk is the problem. If people would drink goat's milk, they wouldn't have all the problems that they have with milk. Cow's milk was not meant for people. Goat's milk is wonderful stuff. All the negative stuff that happens when you eat cow's milk will not happen when you eat goat's milk. It's different.
Yeah, we steer clear of dairy, I feel that a lot of those products and things that people are consuming isn't pure for their systems.
Well, it's all the hormones. And by the way, it's notmilk.com, and it's all the hormones and stuff that they put into it.
Yeah, you got it? Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's notmilk.com.
That's right. Well, that would blow you away. It's the hormones, it's a lot of the other things that, people don't realize that, you know, if you took a Geiger counter and went into a supposedly supermarket serving you real fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff, and took a reading on them, you'd be going, oh my God. We did that one time. and we were showing people, oh, you're going to eat this? Look how much radiation this has in it.
Oh, yeah, most native people are lactose intolerant, and and I know my wife is, but she can, like I said, she gets along perfectly. There's a vast difference between milks, and the biggest problem with cow's milk is that the fat globules are so huge that that you tend to gain weight with it and causes problems, and you know, it gives you you know, that effect of you get runny nose and stuff when you and your throat tightens up when you drink it, but on the other hand, you know, and all the chemicals that are put into it. But we've got some close friends that have a goat dairy, and it's absolutely totally different. I mean, you'll drink this goat's milk and you'll feel a rush of energy, and you know, I've actually seen miraculous things done in with goats. So, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, what did Creator make, and nobody knows about goat's milk. They just don't know about it.
Well, you know, it's one thing to understand what is really that really works for you, but one of the things that I know is that the native people here, their tolerance for milk and cheese and all those kind of things, and these were the very same things that when they made the treaties and that they brought to the native people. And so along with the white flours and the sugars and the rotten pork that they gave to them, and when they did get meat and then of course the beans and stuff, you know, that came. But the that was one of the things that really affected a lot, is that diet change for native people, and so milk has never been really something that, and I can't speak for any other race of people, and I'm not speaking for all the tribes and throughout the world or anything, but I do know that it has really affected myself and a lot of other native people. And my wife now, she can't have any kind of dairy whatsoever, and she's Polish. And she's totally allergic to dairy, and so is my little girl, Crystal Rain. And so we don't use any dairy. And even Crystal Rain will tell you, at 2.5, I don't eat dairy.
but she got along okay with mother's milk.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, totally. Goat's milk's like mother's milk. It's different. But you know what do people. Number one, you get a good goat's milk, you're going to pay $5-6 a gallon.
Right.
You know, but nobody knows about it. Right. Nobody knows about it.
Well, I know that a lot of times whenever people couldn't breastfeed their children, instead of giving them like cow's milk, and that they would try to find goat's milk to be able to give. Goat's milk actually tastes really sweet. I've had.
I was always under the impression that it tasted icky, and I got here and I tasted some for the first time, and I tell you, it was sweeter and better than any milk I'd ever had, and I was told that if you're very careful when you're milking the goat, not to get any hair,
right.
Because if you get any hair in the milk, then you get that goaty taste,
right.
And but it's sweeter, smoother. Than any milk you've ever had, and I know my friends here in Kabul have a small goat dairy, and they were actually offered a blank check from a Japanese business interest for the entire herd.
Huh.
And you're only talking 10-15 goats.
Right.
But this guy, he's going to be our guest in a few weeks. His name is Dick Greenstone.
Uh-huh.
And years ago, he's a Christian man, and he prayed to his Heavenly Father, and he said, what can I do to help, bring about your kingdom here on earth, and, the time of peace. And he heard a voice that said, get a goat. And he said, okay, he said, is there anything else that I could do besides, he says, I don't like goats.
Right.
Is there anything else I could do? And he waited for a response and kind of got quiet and a little bit sleepy, and the voice woke him up and said, get a goat. And he said, oh, well. He said, if that's what you want me to do, he says, I promise that if you'll bless my herd, he says, I'll have the finest herd in 5 years. And you know, in four years later, he had the finest buck, a goat in the country,
uh-huh.
And he had his he had more milk production. He developed a proprietary feeding formula, and had more milk production than any other goats in the entire United States.
Mm.
They're Nubian goats, which means they come from Africa, and other the cutest things you ever saw, except for the males, you know, but they don't graze, they forage.
Uh-huh.
They're the finest survival animal. You can use their they'll clothe you. Goat meat actually it takes more calories to burn it than it has. So it's a hot food. It's like basmati rice. It takes a little bit more energy to digest it than it has in calories. The meat's wonderful for you. And then you can use the hide, and the hide's been used for thousands of years, for skins and clothing. And they don't need grass. You just need to take them for a walk in the woods once a day, and they'll forage. And they're just great animals. They're just kind of funky.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Look inside the rainbow, look inside the heart, deep in the mountain stillness, echoes of another time, let the wind.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies myths and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Let the wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper, oh, oh.
But anyway, yeah, this genetic engineering is kind of got people worried.
One of the things that's happening now is that the crops that they're growing from these genetic engineered foods is pollinating now with a lot of the organic.
Well, that's bad.
And it's so sad because, you know, the same bees that are going to pollinate with the with those plants are going to fly to the next field and to the next field, and so there. If this continues on a regular span basis like this for a long period of time, then pretty soon all the crops in that would be affected. And so, like in my dream, one of the things that was really implemented in my mind, my heart, was that we had to save the original seeds because it was going to be the only thing that would grow. And I didn't know at the time that that's what it meant. But when they started to do this genetic engineered seeds, and they were spreading throughout the country, and it's going to the soy, to the corn, to the you name it, and then crossing potatoes with animals and totally unreal stuff that has been going on in these experiments, and people are just unaware of it. They don't really care. I'm not sure, but I know that this is not the way to feed the world if we're going to destroy ourselves in the process, and along with all the other things that we're doing throughout the world, we're allowing ourselves to become so depressed about what's happening in our lives, whether that we just see one more act of violence and we're all so immune to it that we just sit back and go, I knew that was going to happen. And it's like we've become so numbed out in our feelings and our emotions that we just don't really care anymore. So I think that this is one of the things that we need to do, is we need to get back that understanding that we all are here to experience this life, but yet we're all here to also take care of this altar, of Creator. And so, because there's so many more generations to come after us. In the month of June, Venus is going to be coming across the sun. There's going to be an eclipse there. June, I think 6th or 8th, that this is going to be happening, and it's going to be like a 7-hour eclipse. And because Venus has always been a part of the planet of love and such a wide variety of I'm speaking about the different planets. This is supposed to open up a doorway that will last from 2004 to 2008 in the time of the Mayan prophecy calendar, and that this doorway would be open and it would come to help to change and to bring about the consciousness of man. Now, throughout the world, there are people knowing and understanding that this event is going to be taking place in June, and that they're asking for throughout the world all the faiths and religion just to take the time to turn your heart and mind and spirit, because this doorway is going to be open, and that means that we are going to be in a time of change. Now, since 2005, and me and Brother Mankin was talking about this when the Hellbot comet came through, and everybody was so excited about Hellbot, and we were telling them it's what's coming after Hellbot, the planet that would be seen. And I said, it will take you time to be able to understand its meaning, but soon it would make its appearance. And now they call it the Planet X, you know. And it came into that visible state now. So there's a lot of transformation in the skies. And one of the things that we need to do is not to be in the fear of things, but to open the consciousness of mankind. And, you know, it would only take 1% of the world to fall upon their knees all at one time to pray and to change all the consciousness of the world. We can dream. You know, Native people, when they dream something, it becomes theirs to work with. And this is one of the things that I do, is when I have a dream, then this is something that I personally will start to work with. It was like 2 years after Brother Mackey passed away was whenever I had the dream that I would work with the crystals. And it was only because Brother Mackey came in my dream and he told me, and he started laughing. He said, "Oh, so good to see you, Brother," like we had laughed so many times before. And then he told me all the whole story about the crystals again and the layout. And he says, "You're doing this workshop this weekend, Brother." He says, "Add this to the workshop." And so I have been teaching about the crystal layout and the work that they've done with sacred stones.
Well, you're in a good place for it, because North Georgia's got a lot of crystal. Cherokees work
right.
Very, very closely with crystals. Most other Indian tribes are scared of them, but we work very closely with them.
Well, when we, like I said, when we dream things, that's what becomes our medicines, you know. But one of the dreams that I had too, Brother, is that I'm always dreaming about talking to Creator. And this one time, a good while back, 6 years ago, or whenever. When was they talking about the stem cell research, Brother?
Oh, just a couple of years ago.
Okay. I had this dream about 6 months before they came out with that. And in the dream, I dreamed that I was sitting in front of the Creator, and I was sitting there talking with him, but I was laughing so hard because I couldn't believe I was sitting in front of Creator. And I can tell you what he looked like to me in that dream. He was just a little old guy, you know what I mean? But there was just so much kind of love and good energy that was coming off of him. And I just laughed, and it didn't seem to bother him. He just looked at me and smiled, and he told me, he says, "I have a..." He looked at a t-shirt that I was wearing, and he says, "Everybody reads those messages." He says, "But nobody's getting mine." He says, "It doesn't matter what I do, nobody is receiving my message." And so then he looked at me, and he raised his left hand, and he goes, "I have a message for you." and he goes the first message, and he raises up one finger, and he says, write this message. And he says, a message from Creator. And then he goes, underneath, he says, write, show me your miracles, you're standing on mine. Brother, I have never heard this statement anywhere. It came directly out of this dream. And then,
have you made the t-shirt yet?
I did. I'll tell you about that. But anyway, then there was this, he goes, and then he looks at me and he smiles and he says, second message. He says, I'm on a roll. and so I go, I'm still laughing, you know, but I'm hearing like every word that he's saying. And so then all of a sudden, he goes, he raises his left hand again, and he says, second message. He says, message from Creator. He says, write this. And he says, and it says, have faith in Creator. Science is still learning. and then, honest to goodness, I woke up out of this dream. I was still laughing. I wake up my wife. I says, honey. I says, you won't believe who I was speaking to. And she says, who to this time? And I says, I think I went all the way to the top. And I says, I got a message. And so she quickly grabs a pen and she writes the messages down for me. Now, I went out and do talks and things, and so I would share this dream that I had with people. And I says, you know, I would love to be able to make these. I don't have enough money to make them. And I told probably 100 people, and then finally this one guy came up and he says, and everybody else is going, when you get them made, grandfather, I want to get one. And so then this one person came up and he says, grandfather, he says, I'll have the t-shirts printed up for you. It took 100 people, but one of them came up and he had those t-shirts. Now, I have those t-shirts on the website, but 6 months after is whenever the... And in the dream, Pietro was very specific. He says, these dreams will have a great meaning real soon. 6 months later is when they started to talk about the stem cell research. Have faith in Creator. Science is still learning.
Uh-huh.
The message really took hold to me, and so I was really touched by that message, and I understood exactly what Creator was trying to tell me after that. When I kept looking at the messages, one of the things that stood out, whenever you listen to the message, there's two words in there that we are always constantly revolving around as human beings. And the first message was, show me your miracles. You're standing on mine. Miracles. And then the second message was, have faith in Creator. Science is still learning. Faith. We're always praying for miracles and faith. But you know that we have to be able to actually receive a miracle, we have to have the faith to believe that it's going to happen. One of the things I think that we need to really experience in our lives is to get back that faith and that belief in who Creator is, because we're always thinking that God has forgotten us down here. But I don't think it's that God has forgotten us. I think that we've forgotten how to who God is, you know. And so, but those people that are really listening, Creator never stops speaking to you. And so one of the things that we have to learn how to do is when we go and pray, is that when we make a prayer, we're speaking to God. When we meditate, we're listening to God.
That's right.
We need to learn how to meditate and to listen as well as speaking. And every morning, and my wife can tell you this, I get up every day long before the sun comes up, and I go out and I pray, and I sit and I listen. one of these messages came from. And before I used to call up my web provider and try to remember the message and give it to him, finally I started to write them down. But you have to understand that I didn't learn to read and write till I was 42 years old. And so writing hasn't been really one of my greatest skills. So when my wife looks at what I've written down, she has to really use some imagination.
That's amazing.
But she's learned to cipher a lot of the things that I've written. But I was speaking up in Canada one time whenever this grandmother came up and asked me if she could write my stories. And I told her, I said, Grandma, I said, you can write them, but I can never read them. And she goes, you don't know how to read. And I said, no, I never could catch on to that. I said, I was very dyslexic, and they just didn't have a name for that when I was growing up. So I was just
So they just called you dumb.
That was the one.
Yeah.
And so I went to 3-4 years of school, and that was it. And I don't think I could get past the third grade.
Well, thank heavens we've come a little bit further and understand learning disabilities.
They have, in some regards.
I know my wife still has a lot of learning disabilities. She just, you know, she's an extremely intelligent person, a natural clan mother, and she's
right.
Been recognized as a clan mother, but she can't spell to save her life.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things that I was doing was this grandmother, she convinced me to come, and because she was a literacy teacher. She was 89, brother. She was a literacy teacher for all her life, just about. And so I told her that I was just too dyslexic. I never could catch on to that. And so she says, let me try. So anyway, she... for the next year and a half, I would meet with her, and I would tell her stories, and she would record them. And then she would, next time I would see her, she would have them written down. And so she taught me how to read from my own stories.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. And because I could relate to the stories, she taught me how to relate to the words. And then eventually my wife along the way helped me until I could finally... But she also taught me about dyslexia and how that part of your brain overlooks the way certain shapes and things are. And so she taught me how to look at them at a certain angle and then to bring them back into focus. And it actually started working. It took a lot of training for that to take place. But over the years now, now I read very well. But I've never been a person to go out and read a lot of books. But I've been a person that's going out and experienced life. And I think that's been my greatest book, my greatest teaching, was to learn how to listen to others. And so it's certainly been a gift to me to be able to utilize that gift of being able to listen and to not only hear what people are saying verbally, but what they're not seeing underneath their breath, you know. And so this is a way that I utilize that gift to be able to help a lot of people.
Well, we sure appreciate you being on the show. We've gone over just about 2 hours now, and actually running out of space on my hard drive, so we can't talk much longer. But I sure want to thank you for being on the show, any last advice for folks out there?
If we can know your wisdom, teach us what you can. There's a mighty dark cloud hanging overhead. Oh yeah, hanging overhead.
Be
sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Let the truth be known for all mankind again. Let the wind blow. Let the truth be known.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Let the truth